Good evening. It's July 30th, 2015. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. I'm the chair, Bob Lederer, and our secretary, Michael Novick, will now please call the roll.
Okay. Riley Abbott, WPFW.
He won't be able to be on.
Yeah. Okay. Theresa Allen, KPFT.
Allen is present.
Jim Brown, WPFW. No, Maria Elena Castellanos,
Castellanos here.
Janet Coleman, WBAI. No, Marion Douglas Ungaro, WPFW. No, Jose Luis Fuentes Roman, KPFA.
Present.
Mark Hernandez, KPFA. Cynthia Johnson, KPFA. Janet Coburn, KPFA.
Present.
Bob Lederer, the chair, is here from WBAI. This is Michael Novick, the secretary from KPFK. Frank Lefevre, WBAI. Serene Roberts, WBAI.
Present.
Nancy Sabara-Naritone, KPFT. Peter Tucker, PFW, WPFW.
Present.
John Wenger, KPFK.
Here.
And that's 9 in a quorum.
Okay, thank you. And I
or
heard
10 actually in a quorum. Sorry.
Okay. I heard 2 beeps. Are there 2 new people?
This is Eljoy Williams.
Oh, hi. Well, thanks for joining us. And is there a second new person whose name hasn't been called or who didn't hear their name? Okay. Well, we'll move forward. All right, and we're also joined on the line by Pacifica's Executive Director, John Proffitt. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. And let me read the proposed agenda that I sent out earlier. It calls for, number one, a report from the National Election Supervisor on next steps in the election process, and then a Q&A for 30 minutes. And I would amend that now that John Proffitt is here to say that he said he wants to kind of present some of the a particular issue around the cart, the candidate carts. So perhaps since I know Joy was on that call too, maybe they can kind of co-present that part of it, if that's all right. So actually, why don't we allocate a little more time since it sounds like that may get into quite a discussion. So why don't we say 40 minutes for the joint report of the two of them. Next would be setting the next meeting date of this committee for 5 minutes. Next would be the motions to amend the 2009 PNB policy regarding airtime during the campaign, which was postponed from the last meeting. And I would suggest 30 minutes for that discussion, hopefully a final vote one way or the other. And then discussion of other cost-cutting measures for whatever time is left. And then finally, report on the work group on compiling LSB membership history with a time certain adjournment of 10:30 Eastern. So that's my proposed agenda. Are there any amendments or questions? Yes.
And then Janet K.
Okay. Serene Person.
Okay. So since we're going to be discussing a motion about CART, does it make, should we consider dealing with the motion before we hear the concerns, or I don't want us to devote a lot of time to what's wrong with the old one, because we all know there's something, there are things wrong with the old one, the current CART policy.
I'm not clear on your question. The proposal is first to hear the report and then to discuss the motion.
Right. I'm saying, since we're going to spend 30 minutes discussing the CART policy, could the report not be rolled into that and we just discuss CART, period?
Oh, you're saying ask Joy and John to hold off on that until...
On that portion of their report, assuming there are other things to discuss.
Right.
And then just deal with the on-air election-related business in one sweep.
Right. Okay. No, that makes sense. So that would be an amendment, maybe then we would want to add, put the report back to 30 minutes and add another 10 minutes to the discussion of the motions. So that would be 40 minutes.
Point of information?
Sure.
Are you saying put the my commentary on the meeting today after the this motion is voting on?
No, not after it's voted on, but at the start of the discussion. In other words, to not jump from your and Joy's report, and then we discuss some other unrelated issues, and then we come back to the topic in the form of a motion. It's just to consolidate it.
At least from my standpoint, it's probably a little bit of a stretch to call it a report. It's just relating of very brief of the conversation at the 11 o'clock general manager's meeting today.
Okay, but John, is that okay with you to
absolutely. That's
hold
fine.
It off a little bit?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, great. All right, and Joy, Janet, that's okay with you?
Yes.
Okay. Janet, go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm wondering about the 30 minutes for the first item with the NES. I'd like to have that be 40 minutes as well.
You want to explain more about why?
I have a bunch of questions, and I would imagine others do, unless Joy does report on some of my questions, then I won't have to ask them. But.
Okay, well, just,
let me just, one of the questions has to do with something I sent out, I think it's a week or two ago, that Joy was going to reply to, and I never saw a reply from her. So
okay, so what? Yeah. Here's my suggestion. Because both of them are on very busy schedules right now, I would prefer that we leave it at 30, and if we need more time, you know, this committee has always been willing to vote for more time when it's obvious that a member has unanswered questions. But is that okay? Why don't we just kind of play it by ear and see? Because we always expand to fill the time if it's there. So I'm proposing
don't expand. I just would like to know that my questions would be, I'd be able to ask them.
Yeah, I'm sure people would cooperate in extending if needed. Okay, any other questions or comments about the agenda? Okay, are there any objections to adopting the agenda as amended? Okay, hearing none, the agenda is adopted. And can I please have a volunteer as timekeeper? Nancy, you've done a great job before. Are you in a position tonight? Nancy, are you on the line? All right, maybe she's not on right now. Is there anyone else who could?
Yes, Nancy can do it. I'm sorry, I was on mute.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you so much. All right, so let's go forward. First is the report from the National Election Supervisor. Take it away.
How many minutes? Excuse me, how many minutes?
Well, the whole item is 30, but, you know, that includes questions.
Okay.
All right, good evening, everyone. so much to update this. I'm going to start with the nomination period. As you know, we did extend the nomination period, and so, folks, I believe we have, I'm just pulling it up, as we speak, the number of candidates we're actually going through and verifying at this time, you know, is a total of 167, I believe, across nationwide, and sort of going through each of them and verifying those who actually submitted information, submitted the required materials and the statements, and so the LESs are working very hard in trying to do that as quickly as possible so we have a verified candidate list by next week. We had a call earlier today about that. We had originally targeted to have a verified list by Monday. With our check-in call today, it seems that may be delayed by a day or two. We're checking in again tomorrow just to verify that, but it's, you know, some people submitted things electronically, some in person, verifying signatures and information just is obviously takes some time, but we're all working around the clock to do so. And so we'll have a confirmed list in terms of the process and how that would be published. It'll be published on the website. Each of the local election supervisors will also post them at the station. Those we have email addresses for in our election newsletter will also be sent out. I'll be sending a notification to each of the stations to post the list on the website in addition to updating the links and information to the election website. From there, and then the statement, also the candidates will have a window from the time that we publish their publish the name. They will have a window to make any last-minute changes to their statement before their final go up on the website, and then also go to the mailhouse for inclusion in the candidate booklet, the information booklet that will go out with the ballot materials. So we're all working around the clock, and we'll be working over the weekend to do this, to keep in compliance and make sure that, you know, we get this information up and out to the public, to the voting public, by the beginning of next week. So that's the nomination period sort of schedule that we're working on from there. The next piece that I'm specifically working on, in addition to the candidate submission, is the voter list, which at this time now has information from all of the stations on both their listener list and the staff list. Obviously, the listener, including list, paid listeners and volunteer. And then for staff, both paid staff and unpaid staff, and then for one of the stations, the list of their unpaid staff organization. These are preliminary numbers that we have. This is raw numbers, meaning that the list has been combined into one. However, we have not done the process yet of the removal of station management, the duplicates and running the change of address and all of that that needs to be done. That is what I'll be working on over the weekend. But preliminarily, the total listener voters Pacifica-wide is 55,590 and the staff at 1,097. I'll repeat that for those who need it. The total... and again, these are preliminary totals, with the total listener voters being 55,590 and the total staff voters at 1,097. So as I said, over the weekend, we'll be working on running change of address, moving duplicates, station management from each of the stations, and all that information. There was a question that came up earlier today. I was on a call, the general manager's call, and there was a question about, while it is clear that station management does not vote in the staff election, that if management also qualifies listener, meaning they have donated to the station, whether or not they can vote in the listener category. So I have my own interpretation of that, but I started to look at precedent, and there was a mixed feedback on the call on whether or not management in the past was voted in the listener election, and was interested to engage that conversation from the institutional memory on this call on the ruling on that. And that's the question I have to the committee.
Did you want to do that now, Joy, or come back?
Later? Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I think from the not, you know, yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay.
My recollection is yes.
If I might add, that was Dwayne Bradley who says he's voted in the last several elections based on his being a donor to KPFT, listener donor.
Right. Yeah. That's my recollection as well. And I will search for the bylaws language, but I'm almost sure it addresses it explicitly somewhere where it says they can vote, but they can't run as listeners.
Okay. So if that's the case, then if they appear as
here.
A listener.
Sorry, I just found it. Okay, under Article 3, Section 1, Subsection B, staff members, the last sentence reads, radio station management employees and foundation staff employees who are not employed at a foundation radio... Oh, that's foundation. That's national office.
Yeah.
but no, the first part was radio station management employees and foundation staff shall not qualify as staff members. However, such employees may qualify as listener sponsor members by contributing the requisite minimum dollar amount as set forth in Section 1A of this article. And then I think elsewhere it talks about in order to be eligible to run for the board, you can't be management. So they can vote but not
I
run.
See. So I was looking in the section of, I was looking in a different section. Okay. So what I will do just to clarify that, I will actually post that on the website and send that around to staff as well. So I will make note of that. Okay. So as soon as I have as I mentioned, the cleaning of the list will have official numbers that I'll be able to provide to the committee and to all of interested will probably be posted. It will be posted, reporting the numbers specific to each station and the collective numbers for the voting totals. Now, the next piece in that related to the voter list is that of the eligibility, and particularly that there are a significant amount of people on the combined list who we do not have complete information for, and that could be we don't have their mailing address. Although they don't have a mailing address, they have an email address or a phone number or just a name. We actually have some, quite a few of listener volunteers on the list that there's just a first and last name with no other additional information. As well as that, it's been noted several times to me that the members of the unpaid staff organization that there is a significant amount of contact information missing from that list as well. I've already reported, on this call and in subsequent updates previously, I'm just amazed that knowing Pacifica's bylaws requiring the information in order to give people voting rights, like, it's just bizarre to me that there is no central way to keep all this information, but we won't revisit that. But what I do want, what I did want to create is a process in which if someone who was not able to be contacted and get their contact information, if they resurface during the election period and we have some basics of information that they are eligible based upon whatever minimum information we have on the voter list, that obviously with having the online voting option, it allows us to be able to give them voting access in a different way. I'm going to draft a memo on the suggested process in which that can happen, but also wanted to get some initial reaction on that proposal.
Okay, so let's take some quick comments on that issue. Go ahead, Serene.
There's something in the bylaws about if we don't have someone's address, I think publicizing the availability of a ballot on air, I can't search, but does anyone else remember that? Because I'm sure there's something in there.
Okay.
I'm looking. But does anyone else want to speak while I'm looking?
Bob, is this just about this item?
Yeah, right now, just with the question Joy asked us.
Well, this is Michael Zizek.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think we have a general concern that we know there are, people who are unhoused and who do not have necessarily mailing addresses. I think that's probably what the provision for, notification over the air is, that they can come in or some other method of getting a ballot. I think as far as the staff, it really does behoove the management to get that information. I think that's who the responsibility is mainly on. Not only in terms of the voting, the California Corporations Code requires the foundation to maintain a list of its members at its headquarters. And I've repeated this, like, I don't know how many times in the last 3 or 4 years on the election committee. And so I think that's where the principal responsibility lies, is to get a clean and clear list of who is on the staff.
So just so I can clarify, I just want to provide an example. Again, this is a draft policy, something not something, formal as of yet, but something I'm trying to put together. So just to give an example, as I mentioned, we have numerous people on the list where we have a name and email address or just a name or a partial address information. So the concern that I would not be able, or management would not be able, to get the contact information, what I'm suggesting the process is having a clear process. Say the person's name is Miles Rios, that he resurfaces having been in saying that he's a member of KCFA. We checked the records, and we have his name. We didn't have his we didn't have an address or a phone number. He's able to provide that information. We verify that against the database and say, yes, the information was here. We just didn't have any contact information. And maybe then we are able to give him a ballot using the online method. Right, mm-hmm. In that, because it allows us to do that for the online option that we have. We just add him onto the voter list using, the email address that he provides, and he's able to actually cast his vote that way.
Okay, well, I have now found that bylaws provision that Serene referenced, so she was absolutely correct. So let me, it's worth reading, although it's a little long, but it's all relevant.
All right, I have the bylaws in front of me, so if you just tell me the article
section,
then I can...
It's Article 3, Section 9. And just, but for the people who are not online right now, I'll just summarize it by saying that whenever there's any kind of notice, which includes voting, then the foundation has to notify them either by regular mail or by email. And then it also says that if there's no address in the records, then notice is sufficient if it's broadcast 21 times on the station that the member is affiliated with, and that includes 3 times a day on 7 consecutive days, and mentions the website where the full notice is. So that actually seems to mesh well with the general need to broadcast a general procedural announcement throughout the election saying, ballots have been mailed, mail it back by X date. If you didn't get a ballot, call this number or write this email, or, sort of the overall...
So it would be a general cart. Yeah.
Yeah. So that could just be wrapped into as one sentence in that general cart. Could be, and if you didn't receive a ballot, if your address is... Whatever. I mean, I think that would be my understanding of how to satisfy that bylaws requirement.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and I think, what I'm talking about is just the process. If that person then hears that cart and says,
right,
you know, to themselves, oh, I didn't receive
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think your
yeah.
process is good. Yeah. Because we have to have this, pretty much, we've always had the same process for people who are fully on the books with their regular address, but yet still don't get a ballot. So
right.
in their case, there also has to be a phone number and an email address where they can say, hey, I'm entitled to vote. So, yeah, that you can, I'm sure you'll figure out a succinct way to say all that.
Right, right. Okay. The next step, once we can get over this next 72 hours or so on the chance information, is one, beginning the process, which we're going to talk about a little later, about the candidate cards and on-air forms and in-person forms, and the campaigning period will happen over the next couple of weeks or next couple of months, actually. And then until we get to, in terms of the actual ballot materials, I just want to spend a few moments just talking about that process in a little bit more detail. So as you know, the ballot should hit mailboxes, and the online voting begins August 29th. Over the next couple of days, I would say over the next 8 to 11 days, we'll be working very diligently to get all the necessary materials to the mailhouse and to the online voting vendor so that everything will be operational for that time. And I don't know, so some of you may have been copied or seen the email. That is why we've been so pressed to make sure that people met deadlines so that we can adhere to the election calendar such as it is. So the next process is once the list is clean, it then goes to the mail house, which then begins to prepare the ballot materials. At the same time, the online voting vendor will be developing the online portal for the elections process as well. So each of the printed ballots will have a voting code on it that is separate and specific to the individual voter, so that when they get the materials, they have the option of either mailing the materials back or using their code to actually vote online. So as you know, that...
I'm sorry, excuse me, Joy. Somebody has noise in the background. Can that person please mute their phone? Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Joy.
And as you know, the voting extends until October 22nd. After that time, all of the hard copy ballots will be scanned. There's a barcode on each of them. They will be scanned into the system. For the voting audit method, each voter has their receipt number, whether they voted online or from the printed material, so they'll be able to verify their vote that way. Each of the ballots that are physically returned via mail will be scanned, and there'll be a file kept of each of the ballots as according to the bylaws, and there will be a file kept of all with time stamps and IP addresses and all that information with the actual ballots that are completed online. Those who complete their voting method online will also receive an immediate response on screen. They'll also have an email receipt with their code that they'll be able to verify based upon that as well. And so delivered both to me, that will then be delivered to Pacifica for records purposes, will be all of those files. So should there need to be a recount, an audit, or any of that information, we have all of that information electronically in addition to the scanned copies of the ballots returned at that time. So, and then, as you know, after that, we'll certify the election and the results. And then submit final report. So, I mean, the meat of the next couple of months is really on the campaigning, is really on the candidate cards and information form. Sorry?
Go ahead, Joy.
Go ahead.
I think somebody's having another conversation.
Oh, no problem. The actual campaigning of the candidate, the LESs and myself enforcing the fair campaign provisions, which is another thing that is being built out on the website, is putting up on the website is the actual form for complaints that obviously will be investigated and rulings issued that way, issued and posted. And so that's really the next step once we can get past this confirming of the candidate process.
Okay.
So
is that are you finished, Joy?
Yep.
Okay. Nancy, how many minutes do we have left?
8:33. We have 7 minutes left.
Okay, so let's see how it goes, and if we have to extend, we will. Go ahead, Janet Kay.
Okay, so I have a few things. First, about the mailing. So the mailing of the ballots will go out on August 29th. Do you have any idea when members should expect to receive them?
No, actually, the mailing will go out before then to with the expectation that it will hit mailboxes on August 29th.
Okay. And then are they going out from a single mail house, or would they be going out from local mail houses?
They're going out from a single mail house.
Single. Okay. And so then I have a request that, and I don't, you might be doing this already, that somewhere on the envelope and maybe the ballot, well, the envelope, that it says, do not throw away. There are people
well,
who might, you know, anyway, I don't think it can hurt. Just a suggestion.
Yeah, I mean, the thing we discussed, I discussed with the mail house is doing, you know, some language that's a little bit more effective in my experience. It's sort of in red, important election information, or, you know, there's some things from a mailing perspective and a research perspective that work more effectively than do not throw away.
Okay,
but I get the point that you're trying to make, and it's something we've already discussed with the mail house in terms of making sure it stays within cost, but then also make sure that it separates itself out so that people see it.
Okay, great. And then when will the ballots be sent to the PNB secretary? Me, in this case.
Well, you know, from my understanding is once the election is over, there's all sorts of files that I have to hand over from the election process at the end of the election. So I don't have a specific date, or know if there's a specific time frame in which that would happen, but I had assumed that it would happen at the same time that I submit a final report.
Okay. Thank you. And then about CART.
Carolyn Kubistad.
Recording candidate CART. When is that going to happen?
Well, right now we're trying to actually confirm confirm the candidates and get through this process at this time. I haven't set a specific date in terms of when the recording will actually happen.
Okay. And then finally, I had sent out some information about the LSB members at different stations and their terms and which ones would be among the 12 running in this election, the seats that would be open for this election. And at some stations, there were some questions about, like specifically WPFW, there were three listener LSB members one of them would have a 3-year term and the other 2 1-year terms, and it was, they were all seated the same day, and it was not determined which ones were which. And the same situation happened with 3 staff members. And so that's one example that you were going to look into and get back.
Yeah. So I replied, you know, somewhat to this or whatever. So, you know, my overall position has been, this is overall information in terms of terms and who specifically is setting out terms, is information that should be communicated and kept at the board level. This is not something that the National Election Supervisor would have information on. And so, quite honestly, me having to go through, you know, multiple minutes and actually in order to make a ruling on this, I just, you know, and as I've spoken most, you know, to you and others on this call have, you know, repeated, you know, I'm certainly at a disadvantage in being able to make a ruling on this when I have no history and information. This is definitely something that the board should have, should know and should have given information at the beginning of the election process. And particularly, I know the questions have been specifically asked to the local election supervisors who definitely, you know, don't have access to this information at all. And so, you know, I had hoped that this was a conversation, you know, to be had on the call this evening, because I have no, you know, besides reading everyone's, and everyone has sent, you know, essay long emails and documentation on people's, you know, status. You know, quite honestly, I don't know that it's something that I can, you know, accurately issue a ruling on.
So
everybody
saying the board,
I'm extremely confused as to how to do that, even having read all of the information sent to me.
So when
I
you say the board, yeah, the PNB you're talking about.
Correct.
Okay. Well.
All right, but I'm going to call on Teresa.
Alan for the stack.
Yeah,
okay.
Just 1 minute. But since Joyce has posed a question, is there anyone else who wants to weigh in on, I'm not talking about a specific case of whose term is up when, but just how to move this process forward to resolution?
This is Serene.
Go ahead.
I'm wondering if we can deal with that when we actually get to that portion of the meeting. I mean, I can give an answer now if Joy's not going to be on the call then.
Yeah, she will need to get off by then.
Oh, you don't want to spend the whole night here? Okay. Okay.
Well, I have an opinion.
So this committee did create a working group, and I know that Janet spent a lot of time on it. I know that we had created the working group with the understanding that we would wait for her to send us certain information. And then that information was not sent to us as the working group or to this committee. It was sent to everybody in Pacifica, and it's been like 1,000 emails back and forth about all kinds of details. Some of us have been working on preparing a more accurate list because there were serious flaws in the 3 versions that had been previously distributed. It has been sent to each of the 4 secretaries outside of New York, and I got feedback from 3 of them. 3 of them? Yes, 3 of them. No, 2 of them. And it should be finished by the end of the week, by the end of the weekend.
Time.
Janet K., point of privilege.
Okay, hang on. Just let Serene finish what she was saying, and then we'll take other points.
I can stop there in the interest of time.
Oh, okay. All right. So, Janet Kay.
Well, Serene has her own idea of what happened and her description, and I, as the foundation secretary, have a responsibility and the record of who is on what committee. That is the responsibility of the PND secretary in the end. So whatever is done in this committee it has to be reconciled with what my records are.
Can I just quickly respond and not?
Yes, quickly.
Alan wants to weigh in.
Okay, first, well, go ahead, Teresa, and then we'll come back.
We need to decide about an extension of time.
Oh, thank you, yes. Okay, so how many, aside from the two people who are going to speak on this issue, how many people have other questions for Joy?
John here in KPFK.
Okay. Anyone else? That's John? No, I'm not calling on you yet. I'm just trying to get a time sense here.
Sure.
Anyone else have a question for Joy?
I move that we extend 6 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, I think that should cover it. All right. Any objection to 6 minute extension? Okay. Then we'll do that. So go ahead, Teresa, and then Serene.
This is my comment on the issue of the decision about people's terms. I think that the National Election Supervisor needs to make a decision. She can gather the information, but I think she needs to make a decision. Otherwise, you're going to have some contentiousness, and people are going to be upset, and they're always going to be claiming that they were mistreated. I don't think you can resolve that on the local level, because you have people on the local level that are in slates or part of factions, or they have good friends that are running. And if there's any, you know, unfortunately, I mean, we resolve this at KPFT. You know, this person is replacing this person. You know, person A that's running is replacing B, and B's term ends in December. Therefore, A is going to have to run again because their term will be up. But if there were, unfortunately, people that were allowed to be seated that didn't have an ending of term, you're going to have some differing opinions on the local station board. So I think the National Election Supervisor has to make the decision. Can't just say, okay, well, local station boards, you resolve it. You know, that's how they got in trouble in the first place, because they didn't make that decision.
Okay, Serene, and then Michael. Go ahead, Serene.
Okay, so I certainly know that not everyone, not each local station board operates in the same way, and that there have been decisions made over time, going back, you go as far back as you want, where the same degree of precision has not been applied in making changes and replacements and so on and so forth. And that's, you know, it is what it is. I don't expect that we hire someone to run a 2015 election and ask them to go back and resolve something that did or did not happen in 2010. Not their job. We have documentation for many of the things that were questioned. There are some issues that will have to be resolved. This committee, or at least its task force, its working group, whatever we want to call it, can take a look at the problems that remain when we get to a certain point in this process, and we'll make recommendations at that point. But I don't think it's the NES's job to go back and try to create a history that simply wasn't there. As to why, as to Janet's statement, don't want to fight with you, Janet, but as to your statement about, you know, I have a certain idea about da-da-da-da-da, yeah, it was my motion. It's been a project that I started, yeah, it's got to be like 10 years ago, because I knew people weren't keeping good records. Your statement when you were asked to do something a couple of months ago was that, hey, that's not your project, that's not the direction you want to go in, so no, you're not going to do X, Y, Z, and that's fine. I will certainly share with you, because it is in our interest to make sure that we have as accurate a record as possible for everyone's sake. So there's no question about whether or not you'll get access to the information.
Janet Kay, point of privilege.
Go ahead.
Well, yes, whatever information can be provided, great. And the working group can make recommendations, but the PND secretary has the authority according to the bylaws. So and the PND secretary is part of the PND.
Okay, can someone please stop pushing buttons on their phone? That's very distracting.
2 minutes left.
Okay.
So,
were you done,
so
Janet?
Not quite. I'm just saying, so when it comes to making recommendations versus having authority is not in this committee or in the working group.
Okay, Michael.
Okay.
Bob, wasn't I in the queue?
Oh, sorry. John and then Michael.
Yeah. I used to be a computer expert doing advanced information technology stuff, and as a consequence, I learned how to be a system administrator, and I know that all these computers should be being backed up. And to that end, when I started looking around for some of these questions, like when it will come on, specifically when did I come on, I looked at the KPFK website, and the information has been taken down. So I went to the Pacifica website, and the information has been taken down. The disks are almost dirt cheap now. You can buy a terabyte of disk for, you know, less than $100. So the fact that we don't have disk space is just BS. We need to put all that information back up on the web so that anybody can go find this information. We can all check it. But since somebody has smartly taken down this information, we've handicapped us all. And it's almost like it's deliberate.
Michael?
Yeah, I had recommended when this got raised in an exchange on the list that somebody check with Otis to find out whether he had archived the membership list, because if you look, all the meetings go back, you know, a decade on KPFDX, but if you click on members, you get the current membership. So, but if he has archived somewhere, who were the members in the time that they were on, which he may very well, I think would solve a lot of these problems. So I don't know if anybody ever did check with him. Maybe the answer is no, but nobody said the answer is no.
Is Otis streaming? Maybe he can respond.
No, he's not online.
No, he just set it up and left. He's in the middle of the
Well,
meeting.
I've been in contact with him about this, just for your information.
Okay. Was that Serene you wanted to speak?
I'm sorry, you contacted him? What happened?
I have a point of line.
Excuse me?
Hold on. Michael, what was your question?
I heard Janet Copeland say she contacted him. I said she contacted him, and what happened?
I've been in contact with him about this issue.
And does he have an archived list of who's on the LFB?
I don't want to go there right now. It's not conclusive.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Serene, were you wanting to say something? And then
I was going to suggest that we wrap this up.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so last
Alan's
call.
Alan's question.
Go ahead.
Alan has a question. Okay, my question for Joy is, Joy, can you confirm with me and with this committee that there has not, well, if a director requests listener member contact information, and which could be used to influence electing a candidate or a slate of delegates, that would be a violation of the fair election rules, correct?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure what you mean.
Let me clarify, Julie.
Yeah. I have a point of order.
Hold on, Teresa. Yes, what's your point of order, Serene?
Joy may not know where this is going, but I do, and I don't think it's appropriate. Everyone knows there's a process for how board members get information, how members of the foundation get information. That has nothing to do with what we're discussing tonight.
Mr. Chair, I'm asking a question of the National Election Supervisor. Can I get an answer to my question?
I don't understand your question, so you're going to have to either rephrase it or restate it. I don't know.
Rephrase it. I'll rephrase it. Okay. Directors can ask for information. If someone on the national board asks for information about listener member contacts that would possibly could be used to get someone elected, that would be a violation
of
fair elections rules.
Point of order.
Okay.
Point of order.
Serene, I heard your point of order, and right now
I have a different point of order.
Okay. Go ahead.
The member is ascribing motive to something that directors have a right to ask for. Improper.
Yeah, you can ask your question, Teresa, but just without, you know, what the motive would be. But it sounds, the more we're discussing this, the more it sounds like this is a policy question for the executive director. It's not really a NES question, which is what is the policy on releasing the contact information of members to directors?
To directors and board members?
Right. Directors is another term for members of the Pacifica National Board.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I was confused at that. I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't know what that meant.
Right. So.
So if at this point, Joy, any director asks for listener contact information, would you say that's a violation of the fair election rules if they ask for that? That that contact information could be used to influence the election.
Okay.
I have
hold
a point
on.
Of order.
Yeah. What's your point of order?
The NES does not control access to the membership list.
Right.
This
well, that's what I understand that, Serene. That's
well,
what
then
I
why
would,
are we pursuing it? Why is she being allowed to pursue it?
Because I want to see if John wants to address it. If not, we will move on.
She keeps saying
that.
No,
let me ask John. Excuse me, everyone. John, do you have a do you know what the current policy is on this? John, are you with us?
The other John is. You want
John,
to
John. Sorry, John Prophet.
Yes, I'm here. I just got on the phone with another important call, and I apologize for that, Bob.
Okay, tell you
let
what.
May I ask my question again?
I
my
think
question,
at this point, no, I'm sorry, Teresa.
It's not an election question.
It's 5-6.
It is an election question.
Okay, please
do not speak more.
Everyone speak at once. Let me clarify the situation. It is 5-10. We have a lot of vital information that's directly relevant to deal with this. It's not clear the direct election connection here, although, you know, Teresa has raised a possibility. Theoretically, someone could want the list for electoral purposes. I think it's a policy question for the foundation that needs to be dealt with offline, not on this call. So I would like us to move on into our business for the night, and then
do you think I could at some point get an answer to that question either from the election supervisor Mr. Chair, I'm asking that question. So can I get that question from the ED then?
You can absolutely ask him at another time, but not on this call right now.
And you know, and Mr. Chair, I do have a point of order. The concern of one of the members of this committee that I not get the answer to the question makes me wonder about their motives.
Point of personal
privilege.
That's
completely inappropriate.
Point of personal privilege.
Go ahead.
We're on election committee call with the National Election Supervisor. The person who is speaking is a member of the National Board and knows or should know after being on the board for almost 15 years that this is not where you ask that question. Okay? So my interest is in getting elections work done on an elections committee call. Forgive me.
Okay. We're going to move on now. So is there any last question on a different, on any other topic for Joy?
John does have one.
Okay. John, go ahead.
Yeah, very quickly. Our local election supervisor said at KPFK we're at 100 candidates and counting, and so I thought we were going to talk about, you know, the allocation of cart time. And
that's next, John. That's coming up very next.
The question is how to handle a large number of candidates.
I'm sorry, what's the question?
How do we handle that many candidates with carts?
Well, we'll get to the carts in a minute. Let's put that in that larger context. Okay, so if there's no other questions, then...
Bob, this is Elroy.
Yes.
I just have one more item.
Sure.
And, you know, particularly because of the response, and it was my intention to say this first, you know, and then I thought against it, but, you know, I think it bears repeating. And I said this on, the ED is on the call now, and I said this at the, on the call earlier today, I am completely it is bizarre and shameful the way that people within Pacifica talk to each other, and therefore also how you then extend your conversation, be it online or over the phone and sometimes in person, to contractors that you hire. You know, I've mentioned this to the ED and certainly to Bob as the elections committee chair. You know, the amount of emails that I have personally received that are disrespectful and just downright threatening, and certainly to the local election supervisors themselves who experience this in, you know, in person on a regular basis, it is shameful the way that, you know, people in Pacifica talk to each other and communicate with each other. And certainly as you're talking about hiring people, hiring outside consultants and contractors, that is something, I mean, we don't, there's no provision in the bylaw, you know, forcing people to be respectful of each other, you know, but it certainly does not make one, you know, want to revisit working with the organization again if you're going to be beaten. I mean, I get emails calling me an idiot and a moron, you know, because I make something, make a point or something that, you know, people don't like.
I was called a whore and a pimp, too, Joy, so
yeah,
so, you get used to this.
Completely ridiculous the way that you guys are, as adults, and that Pacifica, as a culture, treat other people and treat other outside contractors. I said this on the earlier call with the general manager, you know, and you know, for myself, it's definitely going to be in the final report, but you know, I just wanted to make that note in terms of a report that the in addition to the work that needs to be done to make sure that you have a fair election that's also on time and it encourages participation, you know, you guys will collectively have to talk about the culture and the toxic nature of the culture in this process. It's just ridiculous.
Thank you, Joy. Here, here. I agree with you.
Yeah.
All right.
So, if I could say, Bob, this is Pete Tucker, but there's a minute or 30 seconds I can jump in.
Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to thank Joy for what she's done, and I definitely appreciate her comments. We tend to chew up people and spit them out, and my hope is this will be less dramatic, less hostility going her way, because we have fights that go on for years and years, and whoever you put in the position to weigh in one way or the other, no matter how objective or fair they're trying to be, seems like they're going to get attacked. But Joy's right. We've got the Pacifica's going to last. We've got to stop chewing up people like this. So I just wanted to thank you for what you're doing, Joy, and best of luck getting through it, and appreciate your work. Thanks.
Okay. So now we decided to set our next meeting date so that it can work with Joy's calendar. So what interval makes sense? Does 3 weeks seem about the right amount of time before our next meeting? Any different proposal than 3 weeks? And then we can settle on a specific day.
Bob, I think it should be quicker than that, maybe 2 weeks.
Okay, Serene?
That's what I was going to offer.
2 weeks, okay. So 2 weeks would be the week starting August 10th. So then, let's see, what are not booked up are Monday and Thursday. So let's start with Monday. Is there any, well, let me start with Joy. Are you available on Monday, August 10th?
I am available on Monday, August 10th. Yes, on Monday, August 10th.
Okay, and what about Thursday, August 13th?
Yes.
Okay, so now let me ask the committee. Is there anyone who is not available on either of those days? Or has a preference?
Can you repeat what they were?
Sure. It's Monday, August 10th, and Thursday, August 13th.
Is KPFTX completely blank on those days?
No, it's local meetings that night.
Well, which ones, though?
Okay. It's Monday is the KPFT Management Selection and Review Committee at 8 p.m., and Thursday is the KPFK Outreach Committee at 10 p.m.
And then there's also a KPFA on Thursday, the 13th.
If I could
finish. Also KPFA budget.
I'm sorry, Bob. I asked a question. I'd like to finish.
I'm giving some more information about what's not on the calendar, but what is happening at KPFA
okay.
around budget. So there's
right.
a like a workshop up till 8 o'clock p.m. Pacific time on the 13th.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. All right, Serene.
A question to Michael if he's on the outreach committee that's meeting.
No, I'm not.
Okay, thanks. Since he's our secretary, I kind of want him to be here.
Okay,
Nancy?
Yeah, go ahead, Nancy.
Nancy would like to attend that Management Selection Review Committee on executive session on Monday the 10th, if possible.
Okay. Well, so now we have I was going to say we have a conflict, but Janet, that committee, that KPFA committee, are you on it? Or that meeting that you mentioned on Thursday, are you going to that meeting, or you're just mentioning it in
general? I'm going to the meeting. Actually, I think it might range from 1 o'clock to 8 o'clock, so I could possibly
8 o'clock Eastern
do that.
No.
Pacific time, yeah. So I probably could do it earlier. And so maybe
so,
that would be,
okay, so not. You're saying for you there is no conflict on Thursday?
Probably not, yeah.
Okay, so.
Thank you.
Let me clarify then. Is there anyone who has a schedule conflict on Thursday, August 13th?
I do, but I don't count, so.
Okay. All right. Well, hearing none, then I guess, is there any objection to making that the next meeting of the Elections Committee? Okay. Then that's our meeting. So now we can go on to the question.
Please.
What's that?
Please put it on the calendar as soon as possible.
Yes, I will. Absolutely. Okay, so now we're on to the question about the CART playings, and let me just set the stage for what the issue is, and then we'll hear from John Prophet and Joy about what happened with the general managers today. So the old current policy, which has caused a lot of trouble in the past because it was so extensive, is, I didn't bring that up on screen, but it's a very, very large number of CART playings throughout the campaigning period. So Serene and Michael have both made motions for slightly different variations, but the gist of both of them is to drastically reduce the amount of CART playings. And we can get into the details maybe after we hear the input from the GMs and from Joy and John. So which of you would like to start?
May I do this? Because
yes,
mine's fairly certainly. Brief. It's just the very specific issue and a very seriously impactful issue for the stations is their planned fall fund drives very strong opinion from the general managers and program directors that the playing of the election carts cannot, should not overlap into fundraising. A very, very conflicting message being sent to the listening audience and simply an extremely poor idea, which I tend to agree with. The issue is exacerbated by the number of carts, and I think in the case of KPFA, their estimate is from the number of candidates they have that they have probably over 1,000 carts to be played, and the physical, I would say impossibility, but difficulty in playing that many independent messages between the time they start and the anticipated start time of the fall campaign is a logistical nightmare. Probably impossible that they're working on actually crunching what that would actually look like on the schedule. The downside of even attempting to do that, that number of separate separate messages would be also to, because of the saturation effect on the air, would be in all likelihood a very strong depressant to the listening audience, i.e. people tuning out and not listening, the actual time spent listening to the station goes down with that kind of a concentration, which also would have a potentially very negative effect on the subsequent fund drive. So that was the issue raised by Quincy from KPFA and some of the other general managers expressing the same kind of difficulty in shoehorning between the start day for the carts and the fall membership campaigns, an issue that really needs to be looked at. Did I get that right, Joy?